Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Mind Your Subconscious. I am super excited, guys, to bring you this episode because it is absolutely amazing. We had Dan Mangena as our guest. He calls himself the Abundance Activator, and you will know why in a few minutes as we start this conversation. We talked about how he went from being bankrupt to now having sustainable, successful, and abundant businesses. We chatted about whether or not he thinks that immigrants or the children of immigrants are more successful. We've had a comfortably uncomfortable kind of conversation about race, about his upbringing, and whether or not being black has held him back and how he sees all of this around other people and for other people as well. We also talked about what all of us have in common when it comes to trying to earn money. We talked about why not to worry about money, but rather play. And he gives you three favorite things that he has done to completely transform his relationship with money that you can do as well. A little bit more about Dan. Dan is a successful entrepreneur, best-selling author, podcast host, and a life and business transformation coach, and an international public speaker who is known for programs and content that take clients and students to next level living. He has helped thousands of people across the globe achieve wealth mastery and truly abundant lives. He was featured on CNN, CBS, Fox, The Jack Canfield Show, and in Forbes, as well as the Entrepreneur magazine. And Daniel's mission is to spread his teachings worldwide with the intention to spearhead an evolutionary uplift in universal consciousness by awakening people to the importance of their unique role and enabling them to manifest their dream life. How awesome is that, guys? So without further ado, let's get right into this episode right now. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Today I am with Dan Mangena. And Dan, please go ahead and introduce yourself and let our listeners know what it is that you do.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. I'm an abundance activator. So my mission, my passion, my drive is bringing people to an understanding that abundance isn't something that we have to hustle for. It's not something that we have to burn out in pursuit of. It's not something that we have to take out the competition for. It's available to us. And that's what I do through my podcasts, through my books, through my speaking, through my programs, through my work.
Beautiful. I love that. And tell us, how did you become to be an abundance activator? I love that word, by the way. such a cool title. So how did you become that? And were there any moments that have made you, like specific moments, or was it just like your whole entire journey?
So I made and lost 2 multi-million pound fortunes by the age of 23. That took me down a really, really dark hole. I actually went all the way into suicidal ideation because so much of my identity was tied up with what I built, who I thought I was, what I thought my value was in the world, being a successful person. And when that was taken away by circumstances, I really was taken back down to the grassroots, right down to the core, to the foundation. And building back from there now, I don't know where we're at, 10 years later, 15 years later, right? I built 2 successful, like very successful businesses, other successful businesses, and I've been able to maintain consistent, stable, predictable, sustainable income, wealth, abundance, however you want to call it. So it's been the combination of pain and experience, learning lessons, and also kind of going on this journey of really learning that abundance isn't just about money. Because I think when I said abundance activator, people probably went straight to, oh, he's going to help me have money. But you'd be surprised how many people come to me with money that aren't abundant, right? Because abundance isn't just about money. It's about your relationships. It's about the health in your body, the level of vitality, the level of meaning. So I look at it as a very holistic approach. And my journey to come into that place has been through my own experience. My journey of coming to share that with others is through the experience of me having failures that I've learned from and the lessons of which have supported other people in learning from them too. So it's just been a natural evolution over the last 15 years or so.
Okay. So you would say that people, it doesn't matter if they, or would you say that people have to go through an experience where they lose it all to really become very abundant and very successful, maybe in a short time?
So this is what I'm going to say. The statistics are that the average millionaire has been bankrupt or lost everything twice. The average multimillionaire has been bankrupt or lost everything twice. So if somebody is, you know, looking at a loss or looking at things going wrong, unless it's happened twice, you haven't even hit the average yet. So that's just one fun fact, all right? But when we look at the whole thing of learning, the whole thing of learning is that we can actually take from the experience of others. The whole thing of having mentorship, of having coaching, is that other people's experience can cut your learning curve. So I don't think that you have to go through the experience, but you have to be able to take the lessons then of somebody else who's had that experience and be able to apply it effectively in your own life. Otherwise, you will have to feel the pain of it in order to learn the lesson yourself.
I love that. Yeah. And before we spoke, before we started this podcast, we spoke about where you are from. So your parents are from Zim, Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Zim is also like colloquial in South Africa. We always
call
it.
Yeah.
So just for anybody who doesn't know, Zimbabwe, country in Southern Africa. And they came to the UK. So would you say you were growing up with money because you went there, or how was your upbringing around money? How was your beliefs around money when you were growing up?
So I was the first of my siblings to be born in the UK. My older brother and sister were born in Zim, but they came to the UK when they were like, I think 2 and 5 or something like that. So they were really young. I would say in terms of the way that class is defined in the UK, my family were middle class, because I think the defining factor between working class and middle class really just is about the level of education that you go for. So they weren't skilled labor, they were white collar workers. And so that class system is middle class. But middle class has its own trappings, especially when you have middle class parents who weren't born or grew up with money themselves. They were learning the game of money. And so around money, I didn't have sound financial learnings or sound good money principles. My mum's very conservative Christian, so money's the root of all evil. My dad wasn't really a great money manager. He had good success, but then success without the capacity to manage success isn't going to really lead anywhere. So he had a lot of property, but then ended up one by one losing them all. So I would say that I had a conservative Christian middle-class upbringing around money without any real education about what money is and what to do with it. I've kind of had to learn that game myself through my own experiences and through mentorship, through coaching, through studying, doing programs, reading podcasts nowadays, and so on and so forth.
And what would you say, where are your siblings? Have they also learned about money like you, or was it just like your thing?
It's my older brother has been really diligent, for example, around things like credit, and he's a very methodical person. So my older brother, Charles, he's been building up a real estate portfolio. We do some stuff together. He's in construction. We're working on a development now with my half sister. My older sister, her husband has really, really sound money principles. And so when they've been together, they just celebrated their 20th wedding anniversary, but they were together for a few years before that. So she's ended up having a guide in her partnership about sound money principles. My younger sister has always been very astute as well. So she's good with money. My baby sister, I wouldn't say I'm really that familiar with her money relationship, as much as 8 years difference between us. But certainly the sister that comes after me, I know she's really good with money. She did one of my programs. She's like, basically, she's cleared all her debts. She's bought her house. She's doing really well. She's got a great career. She makes multiple six figures and so on and so forth. But my older sister had the benefit of a husband who had really sound money principles, so they're really solid. And my older brother, I think more like me, has kind of gone on his own journey and built those for himself.
Oh, beautiful. I love it. I was going to ask you like how, or if they learn from you, or if they come to you for learning or whatever, but that's really
cool. It's so funny. So, my older sister and her husband that I was just speaking about, they came to visit me here in Mexico. They just left on Sunday. They flew in from the UK, and I was like doing some business coaching for my brother-in-law, because he's taking his business to the next level right now. But I'm saying the foundations, I would say not so much, but the principles on leveraging, scaling, increasing, and growing, definitely a lot of people come to me for.
I love that. Okay. And since you have also coached a lot of different people on the principles of abundance, what do you feel like everybody has in common, no matter at what level they're at?
a thing that I see regularly, and it's the reason why we created a particular teaching that I'll reference in a minute, is everybody trying to, oh, that person's doing really well, I'm going to copy them. Or I read this book, or I heard this podcast, that must be the winning strategy, and trying to do that. And that will work for some people, but it's not going to work for everyone. And the reason why it worked for some people is because they just happen to be aligned with the way that that person does it. So the teaching that we have is something called Money DNA. And Money DNA is all about understanding your natural flow with money. And that really underpins, I believe, the success that we have with the people that we work with, because we don't offer cookie cutter strategies. We support people in learning enough about themselves to find their unique path, which we then support them in executing to create and scale and grow.
Would you say that your teachings, like also that they combine money mindset, manifestation and stuff, or is it just in some people's DNA to manifest money easily, more easily, and in other people's DNA, it is, for example, to work really hard for money? Have you found that or no?
That's a belief system. And that's a belief system. And one thing, and you know, we're here talking about the unconscious mind on your podcast, right? I think it's imperative for people to understand that the unconscious mind moves at 10,000 to 10 million times the speed of the conscious mind. The limbic brain, like the reptilian brain right there, it's like 10 million times the speed of the conscious mind. So for every conscious thought we have, there's up to 10 million thoughts that have already happened. And those thoughts that have already happened are executing and creating behavioral patterns and manifesting our reality. The mind also is very agnostic about beliefs. If you say that you've got a belief about something, then the mind's just going to follow suit, so long as that belief is deeply encoded enough. So if someone holds the belief that they have to work hard to make money, then you better work hard or you're not going to make any money, because that belief system is going to be the guiding principle through which you can manifest. So to loop this back to your actual question, there is no one who is coded to manifest money easily, more easily than someone else. We are all encoded with the capacity to manifest easily, but we have to make sure that we honor where we are with that encoding. A lot of people aren't doing that. Right. So one person's like, hey, this is how I manifest, and they manifest quickly. Another person tries to copy that, they don't get anything. Whereas if they just honored their own code, they'd manifest with the same speed. So our teaching is very comprehensive. We don't just look at mindset, we don't just look at strategy, we also look at the energetics, we look at the intentionality, we look at the program, we look across the board and bring all of that together to support our clients in creating success.
So can you give us some examples, if you don't just look at one thing, can you give us some examples of maybe two types of different people and what they have to do with all of these?
Sure. So I've got a teaching that I've got called the Flow Funnel. And what the Flow Funnel does is kind of break down this multidimensionality of reality, these multi-levels, okay? So you're a physical body moving through time and space, taking action, having habits and behaviors. Those habits and behaviors, as much as 97% of the time, are governed by your unconscious thoughts. So we have the mindset, the beliefs, the narratives that are running those unconscious thoughts. But the capacity to hold those thoughts is also dependent on our emotional state, because the chemicals and hormones running through our body based on the emotional state impact the mind and what it's able to do. So we have the emotions governing the thoughts, governing the behaviors that govern the reality. But even the emotional state is running on a program most of the time, because again, the unconscious is operating at 10,000 to 10 million times the speed of the conscious mind. So even our emotions are based on whatever program we're running on. So we've got programs which are disrupted through intentions. That's what we teach. That can then generate an emotional state, which gives space for a set of thoughts, which then gives space for habits and behaviors, which gives space to actions. So what we find in my experience is that people generally are kept in one area of that flow, or they completely reject one. So especially in the spiritual community or the mindful community, a lot of people get caught up on, oh, I've gone to see my shaman. I went and did another ceremony. I've cleared my energy blocks. I've gone to a past life, but none of that matters if that energy isn't being fed into a series of thoughts that you've actually deliberately put into place. So you've got this great energy and all this great emotional state. You're feeling really good. You do your morning rampage with Abraham Hicks every morning, but you haven't done anything about your thoughts. So because you've done nothing about your thoughts, those emotions go to the same thoughts and actually just give them more power to give you the same habits and behaviors. So you just feel really good about the fact that your life's still crap. Right. Then you have people that are just reading books all the time. I've read a new book. Oh, have you heard this podcast? Oh my God, I just had this great insight. I had this download. I had this thing. But guess what? You haven't changed your habits or behaviors. You haven't changed your environment. You haven't addressed your emotions. So because you haven't addressed your emotions, you go unconscious for a minute. You're going to go back to the old emotion, which gives you the same thoughts, which gives you the same habits, which gives you the same outcome. All these great thinking, no change behavior. no changed outcome. Then you've got the people that work really hard. Oh my God, I'm working really hard. I'm hustling, you know, hustle culture. I'm going to graft. I'm going to 10X this. But you haven't done anything about your thoughts. So the unworthiness, the disbelief in yourself, the unconscious thought that that you've got a glass ceiling, that you can only make 10,000 a month or whatever the thing is. And then your emotional states will whack. That's the people that burn out, the people that end up having, you know, physical ailments in their body coming from that. So we find that people zero in on one or they forget one. What we do is we have people really get clear on where you want to go. We've got a workshop with you every month called the Ideal Life Blueprint, where we help people create that vision. Then we look at the emotional state and the energetics that need to support that. Then we look at the thoughts that need to support that and beliefs that need to support that. Then we look at the habits that need to support that. And then the reality unfolds and manifests by itself.
I love that. Wonderful explanation. Thank you so much. And then you said your flow funnel would start with the intentions, right?
Yes, we start with the intentions.
Mm-hmm. So the intention would be about the vision, correct? Or is that about something else as well?
So the intention really is disrupting whatever the program is. Again, 70% of our unconscious program at the unconscious level comes to us between about the ages of 2 and 7. So my son is 14 months right now. I'm already seeing him develop certain things. My stepdaughter's 6, right? I'm seeing her come into the cementing of those ideas. But within that window of time, all of the foundations of who we are being built. Okay. So what we're doing with an intention is going in and looking at that program and disrupting a part of it with something we've consciously chosen, rather than just running on the program. It could be something you desire to experience, something you desire to be, something you desire to see in your life. Doesn't matter what it is. It's just you're taking whatever the program is that's giving you what you're getting right now and disrupting it with something you've consciously chosen to experience.
Got it. Okay. Love it. And when you, what would you say are the 3 things that have changed your life in regards to money mindset that you could give to our listeners?
Okay. Number one, money these days is just numbers on a screen. Stop allowing numbers on a screen to dictate your emotional state. It's ridiculous.
Not even cash anymore. It's literally just numbers.
This is numbers on a screen. This is what it is. Like, the cash has got no value and it's only really represented by the numbers on the screen anyway that move around on a balance sheet. Oh, like, look, 80% of the US dollars that have ever existed were printed in the last 2 years. Like, when you look at the history of money and the fact that government money, now fiat currency, has got no value apart from what we agree is the value behind it. So stop giving so much of your power away to just that. The other thing I would say is that money is just a medium of exchange. That's all it is. It's me saying, for example, to you, Jennifer, hey, like, I've got this problem. Can you solve this problem for me? Yeah. Okay. Well, here's some numbers on a screen for you solving that problem for me. That's all it is. So don't be afraid to be remunerated or to be rewarded for solving problems, but don't expect to be rewarded if you're not solving a problem. And that doesn't have to be, I've gone into Microsoft and I've cracked the code of their virus. It could be this person's in a place of pain and I can liberate them from pain with my gift. It could be that I've got a service or a product and that product or service is actually serving this person, liberating them from a place of pain. And then they give me money in exchange. So I'd say those 3 things are, did I say 3? Have I said 2? Have I said 3 or 2? 2? 3?
2.
2. What's the third one? A third one is that money follows the energy of someone who's aligned with money and understands that money is just a tool. People that you'll find that make money the easiest aren't the people that are hustling after money. They're the people that understand it's just something that's just going to come in and give me more choice and more freedom. So that emotional state, that energetics, that mindset, that's solving problems and isn't really worshipping money, just seeing it as money on a screen, will change the game for you, I think.
I love that. And how do you feel that money or income comes together with impact?
Mm-hmm. Well, try and solve problems. Again, impact, what we do, we're looking at a problem, maybe a problem that's on a wider scale, and we want to contribute to the solving of that problem. In order to contribute to the solving of a problem, we need the resources to be able to contribute to the solving of that problem. Whether we like it or not, money is the easiest medium of exchange for moving around problems and solutions. So if we've got more resources, if we've got more income, then we actually have more freedom of choice to actually support the solving of problems or to have an impact. The more money you've got, the more impact that you can have, in my opinion.
And would you say impact? Yeah, okay. Impact is increasing with money. And mm-hmm. Would you say the more money you have, the more people you're impacting?
Not necessarily. I think the more money you've got, the more possibility you have to have impact. Okay. And even when you look at the solving of problems, so for example, I know people who solve $1 million problems. Okay. They don't serve a lot of people, but they're well rewarded. So they've got a lot of income, but their direct impact is very minimal. When we look at the second level impact, unless they're specifically serving people who are then going to go on and have more impact, they may not be having that much impact at all. They might be serving people who are only also serving a small number of people. So I'd say if you've got more money, you have the capacity to make more impact. If you're making more money, again, depending on who you're serving, you may be having secondary level impact, but I don't think the two are like definitively tied together.
Okay, got it. And what would you say is your why? Why are you being the abundance activator? What is it that drives you?
So I had a very mystical experience that kind of helped me to understand that I was made to do this, right? I don't need a manufactured, oh, this is my why. This is who I am. This is what I'm here to do. I know it with every fiber of my being. And I've seen sufficient evidence, not only in the way that I'm divinely supported on this journey, but even the way that the messages about this journey came to me. I didn't make the choice to do this. I didn't want to do this. You know, after making and losing everything twice, I built up a business. I was flying around the world first class, having holidays as often as I wanted. I had a tailor, a number of designer watches, a beautiful home. Like, I was living the good life. I was living my best life. I loved my life. I wasn't looking for meaning. Meaning looked for me. I was fulfilled already with what I was doing. And then I got the vision to see that actually there was more fulfillment. There was more joy available to me if I came down this path that I'm on now.
And would you mind sharing that vision, what you had or what you experienced? Yeah.
So I'll give the short version of the story. You know, everything that I went through before with the losing of everything and everything that was behind it, I'd started to try and write a book about it. And I was working on that book for many, many years. And then I just kind of put it on the shelf. I was like, I'll get back to it. Then I joined a particular meditation community. And what ended up happening was people kept being drawn to me. I remember I went to this one event. This woman just kept, hey, like, can I ask you about this? Hey, like, I've got this going on. And this just kept happening. I wasn't going around saying, hey, come and ask me your questions. I'm going to give you the answer. I was just doing my own thing. I was just doing me. And people just kept gravitating to ask, oh, you know, you should really be doing this. It's like, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm very happy with my life. I don't want anything to change. I'm not interested in being a poor teacher. Anyway, this kept going until it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to do a podcast and I'm going to share my experiences, or, you know, I'm going to do this. Because when I'm supporting people, I'm supporting them from my journey, from the material that's in, this is the finished book that I was working on for all of those years. So it was the material that made its way into this book is what I was using to help people. And so it's like I knew this stuff was really working. So I was like, okay, I'll finish this book. I'll do a podcast, but I really like my life. I don't want to change anything. And then what started happening is my life started falling apart. Like, my business partners tried to steal my business. They successfully did in the end. And all of this stuff started happening. And I was like, this is really strange. And then I realized that what was actually happening is that I was being given the message that I needed to trust that I was going to be taken care of if I just said yes to the mission that I was given. So I was at another meditation retreat. It was the 13th of February, 2018. It was early in the morning, very, very cold. I'm doing this particular type of meditation. And I had this three-dimensional virtual reality experience of exactly what my life would look like if I just said yes. And so I said yes, and now I'm more happy than I've ever been. I make more money than I was doing before. I live a better quality of life than I was doing before. I've got more going on than I was doing before. So everything that I was holding on to, saying I don't want to change, my life is 100x from there because I said yes and trusted that everything was going to be okay.
I love that. I felt that. And would you say that, because I find that a lot of either immigrants or children of immigrants are making a very great life for themselves. Doesn't matter which country you're in, like in South Africa, it may be Zimbabweans, in America, it may be Iranians or whatever, like immigrants all the time. Do you feel like being an immigrant gives you a certain type of personality trait or strength or something else that you would say impacts your drive and impacts your goals and your mission?
I would say I've seen both sides of that. I have seen people who don't do anything, and I've seen people who really go for it. And I mean, really, really go for it. One of my friends, Carl, who's just an awesome human, like he's doing crazy things in the world, crazy good things in the world. We're looking at doing a film project together maybe next year as well. Child of immigrants. His parents literally sacrificed everything to make sure that he had private school education. They weren't rich. They were working multiple jobs because they wanted to give him that leg up, to give him that. And he took that gift and he ran with it. So I think it really depends on the person, and it depends on the values that have been instilled in them. I think in the earlier phase immigrants, I think like people like my parents who went before it was trendy to be an immigrant, right? There's a level of tenacity that you need to be able to go into a country where, you know, they don't really see many people that look like you, right? So my parents moved to the UK. There wasn't a lot of immigration from Africa in the 70s. It was the Windrush era in the 50s, so there's a lot of Caribbeans, but there weren't really many Africans who were coming in. That kind of happened in the 90s and 2000s as more sort of post-independent civil war sort of tension and strife started kicking off, because there's been a lot more conflict in recent years and a lot more freedom of movement. And so some people went because they needed to get away from where they were because it wasn't safe. So it's not that they were hustling and grafting to go to do something better because they wanted something better for themselves. They were literally escaping. You know, I've got a lot of friends in West Africa. I've done a lot of work there, especially Guinea and Sierra Leone. Like there was civil war where people were being murdered in the masses. It was an escape to live. I think there's a difference between running away from somewhere for safety, and I no shade on that. I'm just saying there's a difference between that and someone who's like, do you know what? I'm going to go and get this done. Like, I'm going to go somewhere where there's opportunities where I can make something happen. So the value systems between those two groups of people, from my observation, having seen immigrants from all parts of the world, in all parts of the world, very different.
Okay, I agree. I agree on that. I agree on that one. Yeah, there's a there's a bit of a difference. And would you say that your race has ever held you back in any way, or that there is people who are growing up more privileged? People like me, you know, white girls from Germany or whatever with a great passport and stuff. And the reason why I'm asking this, I want to give the listeners a bit of a background, is because my boyfriend and I, he's also African, and we have lots of these discussions with that are around privilege, that are around manifestation. So was there ever a time where you felt you were held back by that?
So I've got contrarian views on this. I didn't really speak much during the big Black Lives Matter thing because first and foremost, a lot of Black people don't listen to what I've got to say because my wife is white. And so they get, oh, you can't speak about Black issues. You know, you're a sellout or whatever. It's like, okay, bro, whatever. If you want, you could do that. But if you listen, maybe there's something to hear here. So that's one point. There are challenges that come from being in a blended family situation into a mixed race coupled situation on both sides, right? But also because I don't believe that transformation, that change, that movement forward can happen so long as we're waiting for someone else to do something. Now, I say this with all sensitivity, you know, going back to what's going on in the States and what's happened in South Africa, we're what, 20 years out of apartheid? Is it 21 years out of apartheid?
30 years.
So we're talking like, sorry.
30.
Sorry, I meant 30 when I said 20. It's like I was a few years old. So the people who were enforcing a regime of separation and subjugation are still alive. And we have a generation of people right now who are raised by people who enforced a particular regime. And so we're given ideologies and ideas and a particular energy. When you look at the US, the civil rights movement was in the 60s. And so the people who are in power now were raised by people who fought not to consider people of color in the US to even be human. So I'm saying what I'm about to say with all sensitivity and recognition and understanding that there's a lot going on here. However, sitting around waiting for somebody to give me my reparations, sitting around waiting for people to recognize and acknowledge me, sitting around waiting for someone to consider my life to matter, probably not going to happen in this generation. We've got a couple generations to go, because again, remember, again, going back to the unconscious, a lot of the ideas that we hold, we don't have them because we chose them. We have them because we're fed them by our environment. If you were raised in a household where the N-word was a normal thing to be said derogatorily to somebody, whether you like it or not, your unconscious is programmed with the fact that that's okay to do. You may make the conscious choice not to use the word, but your inner dialogue is going to be based around that programming, and that programming is going to take time. What you can do is you can take that conscious choice and go to the people that you're responsible for supporting the environment of, whether it's nephews and nieces, students if you're a teacher, kids if you're a parent, and train them so that their environment isn't populated with that darkness and that they can carry it forward. Okay. But the fact of the matter is that people are going to do their best, but that programming is always going to win out. And so me witnessing people of color, looking at people who are really going to be doing their best. I mean, I saw some stuff the other day about Joe Biden. Like, he's been caught, like video footage has come up about him using derogatory terms and stuff 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever the thing is. And even saying really not politically correct stuff about Barack Obama, who ended up being his running mate for 2 years. You know, but that was at a time when that was normalized. And I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying the environment that they were in is that. So going and asking for that instead of consciously creating an experience for myself doesn't make any sense. I'm all about conscious creation. I'm not waiting for anyone. I'm not letting anybody be the sovereign in my reality. I'm the sovereign in my reality. And so has my being Black ever held me back? Only if I've allowed it to. At the end of the day, we're in a world where people have choices to respond to you a certain way. People have the freedom to deny or offer you something, and you have the choice about how you're going to respond to it. Like I've said, there are a lot of people that will have certain predispositions. Have I been in a lot of uncomfortable situations where I'm the only Black person in the room and people have awkwardly tried to like work around that? That's because that's a society that we live in now. I haven't let that hold me back. I recognize, okay, that's a collective agreement of how humanity is operating right now. I'm going to transcend that and still create what I'm consciously creating and also be a part of the solution so that going forward, we don't have to have these conversations about, you can't talk to me about my problems because your wife's white, or you can't do this, or you can't do that, or even you having to ask that question about my race holding me back. It's just that that's where we're at now. And I'm simply committed to being an example for my nephews and my nieces, for my son, for my kids, for, you know, my grandkids to come, or whatever the thing is, if I'm so blessed with them, that isn't a question that they have to be asked, because all they see is an example of the fact that they can do it regardless of who and what they are.
So would you say telling the next generations and the coming generations after them, would you say telling them that they can do whatever they want, regardless of what they mm-hmm. look like and who they are, that is the key mm-hmm. to changing the next
not
generation?
Not showing.
Okay, yeah.
Right. And so again, my son's 14 months, right? He's not learning by what I tell him. He's learning how to be a man by how I show up, how I treat his mom, how I treat his sister, how he sees us treating. That's how he's learning. Me telling him, oh, you could do whatever you want, is not as powerful as me doing whatever I want and then empowering him through that example to be and do whatever he wants. That's what I believe works. Sorry to cut you.
Absolutely. No worries. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say, in these situations where you are the only Black person, what do you do to transcend the other people's beliefs or to whatever mm-hmm. you have to transcend in that situation?
Mm-hmm. I'm really transcending myself. I'm not transcending someone else's belief. It's got nothing to do with me. The second that you start making about the other person, you've given your power away.
That is true.
Oh, I need to try. No, you don't. You need to just do yourself. And guess what? If I don't have an emotional response that makes it a problem, then how can it impact me in any way, shape, or form? It can't.
And do you work with people of color who are saying, oh, you know, I have it a lot harder to manifest, or I have it a lot harder to do X, Y, Z, or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. And where would you say they are stuck in your flow funnel?
Mm-hmm. I would say I don't grade limiting beliefs. A limiting belief is a limiting belief to me. So whether it is I'm a black transgender woman, or whether it's, you know, I'm a Iranian man, or whatever the thing is, like, or that for me is just as simple to deal with and address as, oh, I've got a poverty mindset. Like, you know, I'm not worthy of money. They're all just stories. Now, granted, our emotional relationship to those stories is going to differ from person to person, but it is simply a matter of breaking the relationship to that emotional story, which for everyone's going to be a different journey. It's going to be a different depth of healing, but it is just breaking a relationship to a limiting story. Someone comes to me and says, oh, you know, I've got it hard. Well, I can show you examples of people who also had it hard and still made it happen. What's your next excuse? Now, again, I'm not saying this to crap on anybody's journey or to crap on anybody's pain, but until you're ready to let go of that pain and move beyond it and make new choices and move into something else and claim it, nothing's going to change. And I can't help you. I might as well give you your money back. But if you're ready to acknowledge, okay, I'm holding this belief and I'm making the conscious choice to do the work to break beyond it, regardless of what it looks like, whether it's to do with your race, your sexuality, your gender, or whatever the thing is, let's go to work. But if you're stuck on it, I can't help you. I can't help someone that's in a pity party around this story. And again, I'm not using the word pity party to crap on someone's situation. I'm not. But if you're still in that, I can't help you and I won't take your money.
Thank you so much for having this conversation here with me on this podcast around race and stuff, because I know sometimes, you know, it is not easy. And for people to hear it, it is not easy. So thank you so much for being open to doing that. And so now I want to circle back to abundance and, you know, in the manifestation community, spiritual community, you always hear you have to act as the person that you want to be already to receive everything that you want. What do you say around that?
Well, yes, but you have to have done the work that goes before that.
How do you do that? What would you give the tips that you would give?
And this is where it comes to the flow funnel. Okay. So just acting as if without addressing your unconscious thoughts and without addressing your emotional state and without having a clear vision isn't going to get you anywhere. And that's where I see a lot of people messing up. Or they have a vision, but it's not their own vision. It's based on other people's ideas. Okay. So acting as if, you have to look at what acting as if really is. Acting as if is claiming with certainty that something is going to happen. That's what it is. It's not pretending. It's not faking it until you make it. It's actually showing up as, I know this is going to happen, so I'm acting in response to something that I know is going to happen. It's experiencing the outcome that is going to happen, not playfully pretending that something might happen if I play it hard enough. There's a very subtle distinction between the two, but that subtle distinction makes all the difference. And the mindset has to precede that. The emotional relationship to the outcome has to precede that. The clarity of intention has to precede that. So acting as if is the last thing on the board. It's the last thing on the board. And what I found with the work that I do is that when the clarity, emotion, and mindset are in play, very often you don't even have to act as if because it's shown up already. And then you're playing with what's already manifested.
I love that. Thank you so much for that. Okay. And now, is there anything else that you want to share that you haven't shared yet?
Just don't take all of this too seriously. At the end of the day, like, none of us are getting out of life alive. Like, we're having these really deep conversations and all this stuff going on. We're all going to pop our clogs. We're all going to die at some point and move on to wherever we believe we move on to, whether that's into the dirt, into the heavens, or whatever, another lifetime, whatever your belief system, you're going to pop your clogs, you're going to die. And guess what? None of us know when that's going to be. So remember, each day is literally a gift. It's not promised. Remember that life is textured. It's contrasted. It's not one dimensional. There's going to be, you know, different sides of the way that this thing goes. Nobody has everything dialed in. Nobody has it all worked out. So stop putting yourself against this ideal of perfection and just have fun playing with this thing that we call life and doing your best.
I love it. And how? What are some of your favorite ways to play personally?
Personally, I like Lego. I've got secret stashes of Lego in my office. And when I'm not doing anything, I play Lego. Seriously, I've got Lego. I also like to read. I've got my guitar here. I play my guitar. I like to watch movies and have downtime. Love playing with the baby. I go down to the beach a lot and sort of just, you know, hang out and play at the beach and listen to music. But yeah, those are some of the ways that I like to play.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much. So where can people find you?
The best place to find me is my website. But if they go to dreamwithdan.com/Jennifer, we've actually created a unique page for people with some resources for them. So just send them over to dreamwithdan.com/Jennifer. They can get some visualizations that I've created around abundance. They can get access to a really cool video resource I've created called How to Be a Harmonious Money Magnet, and a couple of other bits and pieces, and also space to book a call with the team if they want to do that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, and for sharing your play too.
Thank you so much
for being on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Love this episode of Mind Your Subconscious? Subscribe, rate, and leave a review on whichever platform you're listening. It's very much appreciated. Thank you so much. Catch our next episode every Monday.